Good morning. So, I imagine that you were wondering, why are we starting our series on the Ten Commandments with the last one? Well, before I answer that, I'm going to give you a definition of what the word covet means. It's not a word that we use very often these days, but it's definitely something I think we are all familiar with. The Cambridge Dictionary states that covet means to want to have something very much, especially something that belongs to someone else. Now, I like the simplicity of the video we showed just now in giving of an example of how coveting can come quite naturally in a society that encourages spending and wanting and being dissatisfied with what we have. It is the opposite of what we should be like as Christians. But living in our society, how can we be immune from coveting? I know it's still October, but I'm going to say it, Christmas is coming. And how many of us have already thought about what gifts we will buy and, more importantly, what we would like? Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. No, it's fine. Because like we heard in the video, coveting goes on inside your heart, which means that we can hide it from others if we're careful enough. Yet, we can't hide it from God. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 to 10, it says,
"The heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle that no one can figure out. But I, God, search the heart and examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be."
Jesus also warned us that it's not just doing something which is sinful, but thinking about it can be too. He said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22,
"You're familiar with the command to the ancients, do not murder. I'm telling you that anyone who is so much as angry with a brother or sister is guilty of murder."
Or in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28,
"Don't go to bed with another spouse, but don't think you preserved your virtue simply by staying out of bed. Your heart can be corrupted by lust even quicker than your body."
So, if your heart is not right, then not only will you covet what others have, but it can lead to actions which will result in breaking some of those other commandments. So this is why we're beginning our series with the 10th commandment. There are many examples in the Bible where coveting led people into other sins. So let's go right back to the beginning. And in Genesis, when Adam and Eve were living in the Garden of Eden, they had fellowship with God and they were without sin. And we know that the serpent tempted Eve to eat the fruit of the tree of good and evil, which God had told Adam and Eve not to eat from. Now let's remind ourselves of how the serpent tempted her. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 to 6, we read,
"The serpent told the woman, 'You won't die. God knows that the moment you eat from that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging all the way from good and evil.' When the woman saw that the tree looked like good eating and realized what she would get out of it, she'd know everything, she took and ate the fruit, and then gave some to her husband, and he ate."
You'll be just like God. Now that was coveting right there in the Garden of Eden, coveting God's power and knowledge. Adam and Eve were not satisfied with what they had. They wanted more, and it led them into sin. Not just of coveting what God had, but they wanted to be like God. They put their desires before him and were disobedient to what he had told them to do. They showed that they didn't love God with all their heart, soul, and strength. They loved themselves more. The desire for knowledge, to know what God knows, became an idol that took God's place in their heart. Now, that's a few commandments that were broken because they coveted what God had. What do you desire? Is it more important than God in your life? If what you want is on your mind more than pleasing God, then you are not just coveting that thing, but it has become an idol to you. We were also reminded in the video about King David. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, we read about how David coveted another man's wife, which led him to commit adultery. Then he lied to the husband to cover up his sin, and when that didn't work, he had the husband killed. So he broke 3 commandments because he first broke the 10th, do not covet. Now these stories of Adam and Eve and King David show us how coveting something that isn't yours can lead to other sins. But what about us? What do we covet? Now, our society is filled with coveting, and it is accepted, even encouraged. Surely you want the newest phone, the fastest car, a better sofa, the newest football strip, a fitter body, a prettier face, a bigger house, a better job. Of course, wanting things isn't necessarily wrong, but if we are so dissatisfied that it affects our well-being, then we have a problem. In 1 Kings 21, it tells the story of when King Ahab coveted a vineyard belonging to a man named Naboth. In verses 3 to 4, it says,
Ahab went home in a black mood, sulking over Naboth the Jezreelite's words. I'll never turn over my family inheritance to you. Ahab went to bed, stuffed his face in his pillow, and he refused to eat.
Now, is something that you want or think that you need playing on your mind so much that you are struggling to think of anything else? Does it affect your relationships with others, your everyday life, your self-esteem? Do you look in the mirror and pick holes in what you see all the time because it doesn't look like what society says is desirable? Do you come home and feel unsuccessful because your house isn't as big as someone else's? Do you see someone in church and feel inadequate because you covet their spiritual gift? Now, have you heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs? Steve's going to put a picture up there, which I hope you can see. It's a psychological theory that is a pyramid of needs that motivate people. To reach your full potential, it says, you need to have certain needs met. It starts at the bottom with basic survival needs, and then goes on to safety, then to love and belonging, then to self-esteem, until reaching the top at self-actualization, where if all the other needs are met, you reach your full potential. Now, my understanding of this is that if you don't have enough food, water, then you won't feel safe. If you don't feel safe, then it affects your relationships. If you don't feel loved, then it affects your self-esteem. Having a gap in any of those needs means that you won't reach your full potential. So who or what do we expect to fulfill our needs? Most of us are blessed that our basic needs are met, although the living costs are getting so high that more and more people in the UK are worrying about these things. But what about the need of being loved? Do we covet a perfect body, thinking that if we have the perfect body, we will be more lovable? Is our self-esteem based on our status or our job? Do we covet promotion and recognition at work, sacrificing a Sabbath, maybe, to make us feel more valued? As Christians, we ultimately should look to God to fill these needs. Ask God to provide for our basic and safety needs. Then we will realise and delight in his love and have our self-esteem based on how much he loves us. And then we can become the people he made us to be. This is why the Apostle Paul could write in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 14.
I don't have any sense of needing anything personally. I've learned by now to be quite content, whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much as with little. I've found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am.
What a challenging statement. So how can we be content? Well, there are a few things that can help us to be content instead of dissatisfied. The first one is what J. John calls in his book 10, cultivating an attitude of gratitude. So we need to look around us about what we have and to thank God for it. And become a thankful person. Make a point of thanking God for something every night before you go to sleep. When I was going through my divorce all those years ago, I read a book by R.T. Kendall called Thanking God, and it challenged me to be thankful every day, even in the midst of turmoil and suffering. It is a discipline which is in danger of being forgotten in our culture that tells us we deserve everything and have a right to it. Another way we can tackle coveting is by getting close to those who have less than us. There is always someone worse off than we are, and we are told by Jesus to care for the poor. In Matthew 25, Jesus says in the parable about the sheep and the goats, about how people got into heaven.
I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me.
Those people who cared for the poor were allowed into heaven, and those that ignored the poor were not. But just like coveting starts in the heart, caring for the poor should come from the heart also, not out of duty or because Jesus says we should do it. It needs to be done because of love. J.D. Greer, an American pastor, said,
"Without love, even the most radical devotion to God is of no value to him. You can gain all the spiritual gifts in the world. You can take the most radical steps of obedience. You can share every meal with the homeless in your city. But if what you do does not flow out of a heart of love, a heart that does those things because it genuinely desires to do them, it's ultimately worthless to God."
We can ask God to help us to love people as he does. We can pray that he removes our hearts of stone and gives us hearts of flesh, just as he said in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Our desire for things will fade if we start to love people as God loves them, loving our neighbours as ourselves. We need to make sure that our priorities are God's priorities and not those of the world. If they are of the world, we will keep on coveting, which not only damages us, but our relationships with others too. Yet if we become content and thankful for what we have and focus on God's priorities, then we will become more like Jesus. I'm going to end with a prayer from Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. I pray that our love will overflow more and more, and that we will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding, so that we understand what really matters, so that we can live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. Amen.